Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. Coming off of a week one dominant victory over the Cleveland Browns, this is exciting, and we have a new Dak contract to talk about as he becomes the highest paid player in the sports history here, and a very well-earned $60 million a year. How did this come to be? David Moore has the story up in the morning news. Dak got the call an hour before they left the team hotel to go to the stadium on Sunday. Said it was emotional because he would have bet that it would not have gotten done at the same time on Saturday. Apparently Saturday evening and Sunday morning things started to speed up. I just love the great line from Dak. I just want to hold up my end of the deal and deliver for Jerry. And Jerry saying, my prayer is that we have the ability to put the supporting cast around him. I hope those things change, you know, but I feel like we've been listening to Cowboy greats or Cowboy good players, Cowboy Pro Bowlers say this now since about the late 2000s, you know, after the thing happens in Seattle, where now we're getting to 10, 12, 15 years since the Cowboys had won it. So now we've been dealing with like another 15 years of this happening since we started seeing Jerry Jones and the Cowboys say things like this after doing new big deals or, you know, getting ready for another season. I want to know what's going to be different. Why Jerry Jones should we believe that the organization could actually take advantage of this opportunity in the next 5 years of having one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? What would give you confidence, Zach, that this could change for us?
I mean, honestly, there probably is not a reason to be confident. Nothing's really changed, right? Like, Dak is a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, I do think, have put together a pretty good supporting cast for the most part around him. Now, you have, I think, a defense that is probably the best, in my opinion, that he's going to have played with. I think this defense is taking another level. I get it. They went up against an absolutely terrible offense yesterday with two backup tackles. So we need to kind of wait and see before we like anoint them. Oh my gosh, this is like a top three elite defense. I will wait to do that. Mm-hmm. But I do love what I'm seeing schematically from Mike Zimmer, how he's being able to get the most and maximize Micah Parsons and create matchups for DeMarcus Lawrence, who had one of his best games yesterday as well. The linebacking core is night and day. So the defense, that can help you, right? I mean, I mentioned this comment, you know, in the post-game show. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, Patrick Mahomes isn't winning Super Bowls without Chris Jones on the other side also making defensive plays. Like, Micah needs to get that from Trayvon Diggs, who's locked up long-term, from Micah, who's going to get locked up long-term. Like, the rest of the team's got to step up here. When it comes to Dak, I mean, I think you guys know, I love Dak. I think highly of Dak. I think he's a very good top 10 quarterback. At times plays like a top 5 quarterback. But the jury's out in the postseason. You can't look away from what's happened the last three exits. Now, Green Bay, did he play well? No, but the whole team played terrible. But he had the opportunities against San Francisco to go on game-winning drives. And that's really what sets you apart as a quarterback in the postseason. Games on the line, can you go ahead and do this? And when you're paying a guy that contract, that's what he knows he needs to now take that step and do. There are some Cowboy fans that are going to think he will never be that guy, and maybe he won't be.
Well, especially after yesterday's second half, I feel like that had to reinforce that. Here's the guy that struggled against Green Bay, that struggled against the Niners, struggled a handful of times in the regular season last year, and I don't feel like he's going to be different. There's nothing Dak can do. He's maxed out. I think it's got to come from the organization.
I mean, the organization can't go out there and make the plays for him, though, right? I don't think you can look at a single Super Bowl that's been won, and that quarterback that won the Super Bowl, even like a Trent Dilfer and a Brad Johnson who got carried, and there wasn't a moment in that playoff run where they had to step up and make a play. You have to have your quarterback do that. No matter how good your team is, you have to have your quarterback at some point. Eli Manning, do I think he's better than Romo? No. But Eli Manning made some awesome plays and stepped up in big moments for the Giants to win those Super Bowls.
Aren't they always on teams, though, that have a defense that'll do it for them or a running game that can do it for them?
Yes. I mean, look, Dilfer and Johnson, they're not in Super Bowls without elite defenses, right, and having running games. Certainly, you want to build that around him. And I think that they've done a good job. Now you've added two young offensive linemen that I think are going to be here for a long time.
Sure.
They might have some reserves that can slide in when Zach Martin's time's over. I love to hear what you said about Steele, who's locked up, if he can get back to his
well.
Position.
Sure did.
You know, the offensive line's going to be a huge part of this. And I think we're going to talk next year, the draft, it's going to be about finding your next big running back.
I think that as long as they don't lose Will McClay, they'll be all right. I think that's your hope right there. I think Will McClay's the glue that holds all this together. And his ability to... you know, to manage the coaches, manage the scouts, manage the Joneses. If Will McClay decides to pick up and leave or gets an opportunity, and we don't know. I mean, Will might be closer to doing that than, you know, in years past. You know, getting his own team, letting it run, you know, run his own operation, pick his own coach.
Getting the title of actual general manager.
Right. They lose
I think Will. If you keep Will McClay, you're going to do a good job of holding the standard they're at currently.
I think that to me, when you start to, and this is how I was going to finish it up, you know, you have, say, yesterday you had 9 pressures, I believe, from Micah Parsons. You know, if you talk about pressures and, you know, that's important. You know, Nealon had 8. You know, the tackles Overshown makes. So they, you know, to me, those are the guys that are going to make the difference in you going forward, you know, with the and being able to guys you didn't expect. We didn't expect that Marshawn Nealon would be a guy that all of a sudden he's playing, you know, 40, 50 snaps, he's getting 8 pressures out of that. You know, that's the ability that Will McClay has. You know, and I think you got a defensive coordinator. And you know me, I'm biased to Mike Zimmer. I love Mike Zimmer. I said it when he was hired. I think this is a guy that's capable of saving Mike McCarthy's job.
Well, through 1 week, you're 100% right.
I believe that. I really do believe that. Now, we'll see what happens. But to me, Dawson, if you lose Will McClay, you are going to lose the ability, I think, to draft well.
I would agree with that.
And that, or to go out and get players free agency. They're not going to spend money the traditional way of going out hundreds of millions of dollars on somebody else's players. They've proven they'll spend it on their own.
I mean, and nobody's perfect. They've had their down seasons as well, but I would want nobody else than what the Cowboys have put together when it comes to their whole draft team.
Yeah.
I'll take these guys. I believe in them. But, you know, what's going to push it over the top, I think, is the management of the salary cap at the front office level. And I don't think Jerry and Stephen Jones are imagining that there is even an opportunity there. Well, that's what's got to change if you want to win it.
I'm confused. In what way? In the management of what way? I mean, how do you want them to? They're paying top dollar.
Go get great players. Go get more great players.
Yeah, well, I think for
fill
me,
your holes. Get a running game.
It would be in maybe.
But that's okay. They drafted the running back. Excuse me. They drafted the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Where now the jury is out is on the running backs.
Who is our defense? Who was our player of the game yesterday, Brian? In the post game,
it was a linebacker.
Right, Eric Kendricks.
Kendricks. Yeah.
So Eric Kendricks was a free agent addition.
Yeah.
Now he was not expensive at all. But right. I think that we know they draft and develop well. That's the reason they're competitive. That's not changing. And as long as Will's here, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think the next step then is evaluating, and maybe it's not, hey, I'm going out and getting top of the market guys, but at least being a player and showing that you're active in free agency instead of completely taking it off, which it seems like they do. Now, credit to them. They got Eric Kendricks at their number. He said, bye-bye, San Francisco. I want to come and play for you. Hell yeah, they deserve credit for that move. But at the same time, little additions like that, that's what ends up being able to be the difference makers for certain teams in the postseason, and I don't think we've seen enough of those.
Yeah, you know, I think for the Rams in 2021, you know, it's Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey. You know, we need a pass rush. We need a cover guy.
Is that trades?
Trades are part of that.
That was trades.
Yeah.
Right? That wasn't free agent signings, but that was a commitment to trading the picks and then paying the guys, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, they're going to always pay their own before they pay somebody else's own. That's where their philosophy is. They're like, when you draft well enough, you can get away with that. I don't think that's a bad philosophy, but to me, to go out and get a Kendricks, go out, they traded for Cooks. I think Cooks played a factor in the game yesterday. Yep. You know, I don't know. I just, to me, there's ways to do this without paying other free agencies.
I just don't see the teams that's doing it. You know, before that, it was Tampa adding Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul. There's going to be parts of your roster that are lacking, and I see the teams adding all pros there.
They traded a one. They're terrible at trading a one to go get a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that to go get Amari Cooper. And it's a shame that Amari Cooper and the team got cross. You know, that would have been something that'd been nice to probably still have Amari Cooper here playing. You know, but I think the willingness to, they're going to always pay their own. Are they going to go out and sign the others? No, they're not going to do that. That's just not going to happen. You know, there's teams, like I say, I think the Rams, maybe some bad drafting teams. You know, that's where if you don't have confidence in your ability to draft, you have to go out and pay money, I think, to go get guys.
Well, they got the Dak deal done. Dak says he wants to, get the championship done. Jerry Jones.
That's on him now.
He believes he can now. Yeah, Jerry Jones, quote, him. You know, I believe I can put the supporting cast around him. I don't know. They have opened as 6.5-point favorites in week 2 against the New Orleans Saints. How are you feeling about that matchup right now, Chief?
Ooh, I mean, I feel good about it. I know the Saints just mollywopped the Panthers in the Superdome, but that is not something that strikes fear into me. I still will be expecting Cowboys victory. The line is starting at Cowboys 6.5-point favorites, probably with the fact that how good the Cowboys were at home last year is factored in there a little bit. But yeah, I'm feeling good about beating the Saints. I will add one other thing to just the general, you know, the strategy of trying to get a Super Bowl. You got to make sure you got the right head coach.
There you
go. And you've upgraded from Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy. Yeah. You have absolutely leveled up. But is that ultimately going to be enough, or is there, you know, not shortchanging yourself on the coaching stuff? No salary cap in the coaches. Make damn sure you go out there as the number one. You're America's team. You're the wealthiest team in all of sports. There is no cap on just going and saying, I'm going to make sure I have an awesome coach. And you did it defensively just now. And it's not, I don't want to take a ton of shots at Mike McCarthy because he's solid. But solid quarterback Dak, solid head coach Mike McCarthy is not usually winning the Super Bowl. You got to have great somewhere.
Of the next great coaches, is Ben Johnson the one that you would say could get you a Super Bowl?
I think that's definitely a guy you would take the chance on, yes. I don't know his personality. I don't know all those the other head coach characteristics. But from what I know about Ben Johnson, heck yeah, dude. That'd be a guy I'd want to go get.
You're tied. You're married to the quarterback now.
Yeah.
So now the quarterback needs.
How can I help my really good quarterback, not great, but really good quarterback, be the best version of himself? Matthew Stafford going from Detroit's coaching to Sean McSex, all of a sudden, he's throwing no-look touchdowns in a Super Bowl.
So when you're thinking about the potentially of the next head coach here, And, you know, I could say that here we are, it's not even the off season, but if you're thinking about that, you have to absolutely think about your first question then has to be about Dak Prescott and how you would work with, how would you would make Dak Prescott that what you're talking about. If you think the coach is a Super Bowl coach, okay, how do I get my quarterback to play that way? And please don't tell me that you don't think my quarterback can get to the Super Bowl, because if you don't, then we just made a huge mistake with some money.
At this point, if McCarthy's not back, I want Mike Zimmer as the head coach with Al Harris as the DC.
I kind of feel like that Mike is the DC and nothing against him as the head coach is a better office for you as a DC than he is a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
I would.
I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, as long as he sticks around.
No, that's just me. Vince Johnson,
just keep him there.
That's just personally. I mean, that's why I think Mike. I think when you let him be the guy that walks around and makes sure that the defensive line's taken care of. Al Harris is a damn good coach. I think he's on his way. But to me, that's Mike as a defensive coordinator, I think, is better than Mike as a head coach. Hmm. That's just me.
Impressive debut yesterday. Everything just looked so much more solid, and that the breakdown was unlikely. And when the ball was being delivered to a spot, it seemed like the entire team knew it a half second before and was rallying there.
Well, that's that you're looking at two opening day, and you have a lot of time to prepare for that.
Okay,
you have a lot of time,
and Zimmer knows Stefanski very well,
and he does. Yeah. And I think that Wooly Bully's right though on this thing. Let's see how it plays. The pieces are there for them to have a very good defense. But let's see, you've got some games coming up that, you know, you get a quarterback this week that could throw the ball down the field. You know, that this quarterback you just played couldn't throw it 6 yards. You know, I mean, he couldn't complete a pass, you know, under, I mean, everything was underneath, but that was the pressure you put on him to do that. So, but I think Zim will be up to the task every week.
Had some wide open guys too in the middle of the field. It was just crazy to watch. Yeah. That bad of offensive play. Mm. Well, Chuck, where are we going next?
I think we're going to have Rangers GM Chris Young join us, then we'll hit the top 10 coming up at 4:45-ish. That's
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more...
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Thanks to the nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. The Rangers have won four series in a row. They're sitting now just four games below 500. And another exciting call-up today to ask GM Chris Young about. It is time now for the Chris Young Show. Segments brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. CY presented by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing good. We're excited about the announcement that Kumar Rocker is coming up on Thursday. Can you talk to us about what went into that?
Yeah, it's just a really exciting day for our franchise and for our fans. Certainly, Kumar has earned the opportunity to get called up, and you know, there's a lot that goes into it, but ultimately, we've kind of covered every angle in terms of our decision-making process, starting with the medical side. And Kumar has passed all the tests from a medical standpoint. He's fully healthy. He's out of rehab mode and in game mode, compete mode. And, you know, from there, it becomes more of a baseball decision and what's right for the player, for the team, how much experience does he need in the minor leagues, weighing that with the experience that he would get at the big league level. But I think the most important piece of this is that we talk about internally all the time that this is a performance-based game, and Kumar has earned the opportunity. He has done everything he possibly can in terms of his performance to earn this call-up. And, you know, kudos to him. I'm so happy for him. He's a great, great person, and I think he's going to look great in a Rangers uniform.
What do you think about the talk that his numbers compare favorably to what Paul Skeens was able to do in his seven minor league appearances?
You know, I didn't realize that. That's not something we compared necessarily when we were making this decision. So I wasn't aware of really how close those numbers are to each other. But what I will say is that he's an elite competitor, and Paul Skeens is an elite competitor, and they're extremely talented pitchers. When you have the mental to go with the physical, those guys seem to do special things, and I put nothing past Kumar in terms of his ability to compete and perform, and that's why we're calling him up.
How important is it with the economics of baseball today? Is there a concerted effort to see these young guys up early to be – you know, a way to balance off some of the big spending that you have to do elsewhere on the roster?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it's not part of our decision-making specific to Kumar. It's really for every organization. The more homegrown talent you can have and cheaper, younger players, the more flexibility it gives you to sign veteran players to complete your roster. So there is certainly a benefit to it, but it's not why we made this decision. But you know, it's why a pipeline of talent in the farm system is so critically important to the success of any organization.
How excited are you, as well as this rotation is really starting to get healthy, Jacob deGrom, the impending return for him? And what's kind of some reasonable expectations, CY? Because I'm thinking just a complete game, no hitter.
Well, I don't think you're going to see a complete game. The number of hits I'm not going to make predictions on, but I know that these guys are, you know, Kumar, Jacob, and others are capable of being dominant. So, but for Jacob, it's, again, our expectation, assuming he feels good today and tomorrow, is that he'll pitch later this week against the Mariners, and we're really excited about that. This is a big day for our team and for our franchise and for our fans, as I said. You know, we've got a young pitching prospect. We've got a pitcher who is arguably the best in the world rejoining our rotation. It's a lot of fun to talk about these positives, especially in a season where we've had a lot of challenges. And we've talked about creating momentum and building into the off season so that we come back in 2025 with an expectation of winning again. And I think these are steps in the right direction. But specific to your question on Jacob, you know, he will be on a pitch count, as will Kumar. You know, there'll be some innings limits here for both of those players. But anytime you have guys like that out on the mound, it gives your team a better chance to win. And we're thrilled to have Jacob coming back.
CY, if I could circle back on, was there, when you talked about with the staff and what you were going to do with Kumar and get him, is there any thought about the team you're pitching against or playing against? that goes into that? Is there something you like, okay, this is a little bit more favorable for us this way? I know you're talking about innings limits and stuff like that, but does any thought about the opponent come into this?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about debuting at home versus the road for both of these players in terms of their 2025 season debut for Kamar, his major league debut. But at the end, there are only so many games left, and sure, we really, you know, I don't want to put too much thought into this. What I want is to get both of these guys as much experience as possible in 2024 so that they go into the offseason having checked the box of getting back to the major leagues, performing, being healthy, and then they can go have normal off seasons and prepare for the 2025 season. I don't want any mental hurdles, so to speak, in terms of them not pitching in the big leagues this year, and I think that's the most important piece. So, you know, the sooner we do it, the more starts they get, and I think the more it benefits them going into 2025.
What'd you think of the Jack Leiter start over the weekend? That four-seamer seemed to be working for him pretty nicely.
Yeah, Jack, he built off the positive momentum from the Yankee game, which was fun to see. And, you know, our expectation, we understood Jack is not perfectly refined, but it was going to be a work in progress, as it is with most young pitchers, that they don't come up and dominate immediately. So we knew that, and we've seen glimpses of it. Now the key is to continue the development and continue to improve. And I think this last start was a huge step in the right direction. You know, he gave up three runs. Two of them came on a hit-by-pitch and a walk. So you eliminate those two, it becomes more of a dominant start. So it's just part of the natural progression for Jack. But I think it shows how well his stuff plays at the big league level. And our expectation is that Jack continues to get better and better. The more positive momentum he creates, the more confidence he builds, and that his stuff will continue to be refined. And he's going to be a very good major league pitcher in time.
How possible is it at this point that Jack or Kumar could be part of the rotation to start next year?
You know, I think it's a fair question, and I think it's – I can't give you a perfect answer because, as I said earlier, it's a performance-based game, and they will determine that. It's going to be up to them to have really good off seasons, to come into spring training in a good place, physically, mentally, and then to go out and have good results in spring training. It doesn't mean they need to be mid-season form at the beginning of spring training. But what it means is they need to come in and show that they are ready to earn a rotation spot. And if that happens, you know, these guys are very talented, and I have no doubt that if they do what's required in the offseason, they'll put themselves in a very good position to earn spots out of spring training.
Any update on how Corey's doing?
Yeah, Corey's continuing his rehab progression. Actually, there's we're hopefully get a little more information this week in Arizona. The surgeon who did his hernia surgery last year is here in Phoenix. So Corey will see that doctor in the coming days, and we'll have a little more information, have a better idea of his timeline. But at this point, I don't have that information.
Our guy Wyatt seems to be a walk-off monster at the plate and in the field. Like, when you draft a guy like that, do you know he's got the clutch gene in the DNA? Does that come back in the blood work that you guys do?
Well, it's similar to Kamar and Jack and Josh Young and, yeah, a lot of these guys. I mean, you see them perform under pressure, and the more – and that's why college guys, you know, provide a little bit more clarity and certainty in terms of when you draft a player in college versus high school, because you've seen them perform on the big stage in big moments. And Wyatt in the College World Series last year was phenomenal. He was tremendous, and it just seemed like no moment was too big for him. So, you know, it's been fun to see those late – inning at bats for him this year, and the way he continues to really rise up clutch.
See, well, I've really enjoyed watching Cody Bradford pitch, and it seems like it's all about how hard these pitchers throw, but you've got Cody who is getting people out with a sub 90 mile per hour fastball. I mean, what are you seeing as a former pitcher that is making him just so darn effective right now?
Well, it's funny. I'll throw my wife under the bus a little bit. I didn't know if this – I assumed it was a compliment because Cody – I think Cody is really, really good. And she says, watching Cody Bradford reminds me a lot of watching you. And I thought, well, here we go. She's going to talk about lack of velocity and lack of talent. But really what she meant was the competitive poise, the conviction, the certainty, the dependability, the reliability. And Cody brings all of that. I mean, you're not going to find a more prepared pitcher. You're not going to find a pitcher who believes in himself more and has the ability to go execute consistently. And he's just so fun to watch. I mean, I'm so proud of him and happy for his success. And he's just mentally as strong as it gets. And that's what big leaguers, good big leaguers are. And Cody embodies that. And it's just been awesome to see his success. And we want to see him continue it and finish strong here.
Speaking of your pitching days, CY, what was your perspective on Elvis Andrus, who we celebrated over the weekend?
Well, I was really happy for Elvis. I mean, that was a really cool, retirement to see him retire a Ranger and, just go out and for all the special things that he's done for our franchise and our fans and the special moments. There's no better fit for him in terms of a uniform to retire in, and just really, really happy. And to see Michael and Wash at that press conference celebrating Andrew, Elvis, it was really special. So what a fun year for, kind of that era with Adrian and all the wonderful things that have happened with the Hall of Fame and now Elvis's retirement as a Ranger. It's really cool to see, and that's a big part of our history as a franchise, and we want to celebrate that history. And those guys did really special things, as did, our 2023 team, and they'll forever be a part of Rangers' history and legacy, and we want to continue to celebrate that.
Hey, CY, you got a couple here in Arizona. Did you pack the three-quarter zip championship, attire, and you're going to wear it the two nights there in Arizona to remind those people what you did to them?
I just got to Arizona. It's 108 degrees here, so nothing three-quarters is going to work. It's going to be short sleeve here, but I don't want to remind them. They're a really good team. They're fun to watch. Their offense is explosive. We're going to have our work cut out for us in this series, and I'm guessing there's going to be a little bit of some motivation for those guys,
sure.
Showing us, hey, look what we've done this year, and we're going back to the playoffs, or they're fighting to get back to the playoffs. And, we certainly envy what they've done and how they've bounced back from that World Series loss. But it's a great organization. We've got our work cut out for us, but it is fun being back here, I will say that.
Well, congrats on the success you've had on the diamond here recently. Winners of four straight series. Best of luck in Arizona. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you, CY.
Guys, I appreciate it. Great talking with you.
Cheers. There he goes. Brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. Sebastian Walcott, been called up to Frisco as well. Youngest player in AA this year. So that's exciting. He's just 18 years old. He's a beast. Okay, coming up next, Wolchuk, do we have a top 10? What would we like to do here?
Yeah, let's top 10 it. It is a victory Monday. We got top 10 thoughts from the Cowboys' win over the Browns. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. LA Live coming up in less than 1 hour now inside the Expressway, 5 o'clock hour with Lucius every afternoon. Okay, coming up at 5, it'll be an addition to the finest, but here's Wolchuk's top 10. Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Thank you, General. I've got our top 10 Cowboys-Browns thoughts after the Cowboys started 1-0 yesterday, 33-17, getting that win over the Browns.
Woo!
Did you have something, Brian?
No, I was just acknowledging your top 10 list.
Thank you. Yep, 877-881-1053. What were some of your thoughts from yesterday's victory? Had a couple people say, all right, offense was anemic. Once the corners started biting the lamb inside slant route, go watch the films. That's from Mark Sanders on the Twitter. Brian Broaddus, you did watch the films.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, they struggled a little bit with that. Their corners did a much better job of, playing the slants. And I just felt like that, to me, there could have been some other things that they could have done a little bit better as far as moving the ball with their receivers. I think the slants are always early in the game. They hit a couple of them, and then they kind of went back to it a little too much. Like, you can hit, you could adjust that. You could fake like you're going to run. You can run some combination routes off the slant too, and throw some things behind that would have probably been successful. But yeah, it was the offense in the second half. It was like Mike was just trying to get out of the game. He knew.
He
knew his defense was good enough that they weren't going to score on him. And he's just kind of like, what can I do to kind of maybe keep the clock moving and
just not show anything,
yeah, not show any of my cards.
Exactly.
I do wonder about the slant stuff though, because you can't help but remember the Green Bay game,
sure,
where it's interception and it's like the defense knows when it's coming.
For sure.
And towards the end of last season, it felt like that in a lot of ways, where defenses knew exactly what buttons you wanted to press. And that's just one example of, it's like, okay, we know what's happening here. Now, and to be fair, Cleveland's got, like, Emerson and
all three of their starting corners are really good.
Those guys are good players.
They made it a point yesterday to attack Emerson. they made it. They didn't want to deal with the other two.
With Ward and Newsom?
No.
Yeah. Did Cleveland stop blitzing in the second half? Because it seemed like that touchdown that Cook scored, you know, might have made them realize blitzing Dak is a horrible idea.
Yeah, any type of pressure on Dak, we've kind of from last year learned that that's his wheelhouse right there. Yeah. But they tried to. They really didn't have to because the way that Dallas was calling the game, it's just what they weren't having the success that they had in the first half. And all of a sudden they said, okay, let's play a little bit more coverage here. Man heavy to start that stuff and then back that thing up. And so, you know, that's where I feel like, though, that Dallas has got to find a way. I just keep saying this. I wish in the second half the game plan would have been Mike McCarthy standing in front of the team and said, okay, second half defense, you're kicking their ass. Offense, this is what we're about to do. We're about to load this thing up, and we're going to run the football. And we're going to see how much we can run the football and kind of get some things going and maybe establish some things here and grind this clock out a little bit and really take Cleveland's will to compete. The defense did a great job of doing that to their offense.
Yeah.
But their defense was still kind of hanging around, you know. I'll tell you this. I just wish they wouldn't just in the second half wasn't as bad as it looked.
I do think, though, like it really can't be a surprise when maybe the biggest question about the team coming into the season is, can you run the ball? And in the second half of a game, when everyone in the building knows that's what you want to do,
against a good front seven,
you're probably not going to have much success with it.
I think to me where they could have done some different things was, I'm not asking them to sit there and run into the brick wall three straight times.
Yeah.
But I'm asking them is to, throw a little, the waggles, the boots. I mean, you lose Ferguson. You know, you could get Scooney going, get some of, you know, maybe some of the stuff, Hunter Lipke. They had Hunter Lipke in the flat a couple of times. You know, you could have done some things with bringing him across the formation, throwing the ball downfield, open up some, clear out some routes and things like that. But I wish they would have tried to get Deuce Vaughn maybe a little bit more involved, get him some carries. And then with Dowdle, get him a few more carries. If you want to protect Zeke, fine.
Sure.
But just let's see if we can grind out some offense here and move the ball by running it and then throwing some play action stuff off that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they got a road win against a team that at least was a playoff opponent a year ago.
They had all their defensive players.
Yeah,
we get it. They were not compromised on defense at all.
But you put the Detroit game from last December in there, and now the Cleveland game. They're like beating playoff teams in the regular season.
Yeah. Look at them go. I mean, that's definitely a thought. Obviously, Jake Ferguson, big news on that. I mean, you definitely, that's your number two offensive weapon behind CeeDee Lamb. You did not want to lose him. Thank goodness that's not something that's serious week to week with that knee. They're calling it a sprain with the MCL. Might just be bone bruise-esque, but either way, look, if he could even give it a go against the Saints, it'd be awesome, but I'm assuming he's probably going to miss one game. Hopefully he's back for that Baltimore game following week. They're going to need him.
Yeah, you're going to need all your horses for that one.
No doubt. Best kicker in football, Brandon Butter Aubrey. Dude's an absolute sensation. 57, 50, 46, and 40. Made it from bleeping 66. Just didn't count, unfortunately, because, the clock ran out. You had a delay game penalty. Maybe that's on the refs, but also, regardless, I'd still like to see a Mike get the timeout in.
Our coach isn't much of a clocksman, but we've known that. Aubrey is unbelievable. Coupled with Turpin, you have a real advantage in special teams.
Unreal.
Like, the Aubrey stuff is just ridiculous. Move over Justin Tucker.
No, there's revenge.
A new, yeah, move over. There's leg a new, of the league in
new,
town.
New number one.
Justin Tucker had a bad miss the other night, right?
Yeah, he did. He's not been good from 50-plus lately.
No more power.
No revenge for Amari Cooper. It was like second play of the game. They
should have had the touchdown.
Like, holy crap. Yeah, he should have. He absolutely should have. But just two catches for 16 yards. And sure, your quarterback wasn't very good for him, but was a little worried about that. We know the route runner Amari is. Could he possibly take advantage of maybe Diggs in his first game back, trying to figure out that ACL? Carson, the rookie? No. Amari, not a good day.
Diggs and Carson look great, man.
Carson was
the pressure really helped, but those guys. No, you're right, sure. Though. And like I said earlier, I think you got to give Overshown and Diggs a lot of credit for coming back because I know I've been harping on like, well, these guys, it takes 5-6 weeks.
No, but they were ready to rock.
They were ready to rock.
They were
from the jump.
I mean, Gallup never got back, and Terrence Steele did take a year.
Yeah, I mean, player to player, but those two were, hey, they made the most of their offseason. How about all the sacks? I mean, it was just a sack party. I know you watched 49 of those bad boys leading up to it, but you got six to watch yesterday there, Brian.
Should have been 10.
Probably should have. Yeah, you're right.
They should have had 10 sacks yesterday.
The one good thing that Watson can still do is kind of shuck you off a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He can be a little slippery there. I know Micah was frustrated there, but, man, DeMarcus Lawrence was brilliant. Eric Kendricks was awesome. Micah was fantastic, but the pressure was all day long.
Oso Odighizuwa was good, too.
Yeah,
stats inside. Numbers don't show, but when you watch him play, you're going to see him involved with a lot of things, the combinations to get pressure.
We've talked about it, but the linebackers were fantastic, and Overshown deserves a lot of love as well. Finished the game, 11 total tackles, 5 solo. Kendricks led the team in tackles. He had the interception. He had 2 sacks. He was amazing. I liked the little flash that we saw from Maris Liufau as well.
Can I say something about the interception that he had?
Yeah.
Got to give Micah Parsons credit for this one, because what happened, Micah quickly read that ball was going to come out of Watson's hands fast. So he was blitzing, and he saw Watson load up. And as soon as Watson load up, he stopped his rush and went straight up, knowing that, like, okay, if I keep rushing, he's going to throw it right over my head.
Heady play.
But he read that how fast this ball potentially was going to come out, and that's how you got the deflection.
Shout out to that Zim defense, man. I mean, that's probably number one on the thoughts. I mean, 2 of 15 on third down for Cleveland. They had 1 first down the
entire
first half.
You're going to play better offenses
half.
Going forward. But,
you are.
But that's a good start.
At least yesterday,
for week one, that was a great way to play.
You deserve your flowers, yeah. Absolutely. And then the offensive line, right? The 2 rookies, Guyton and Beebe. I was very confident in Beebe, obviously, and I've loved what we've seen from Guyton so far. But neither, I mean, he didn't allow Myles Garrett to wreck the game. Both of them, I think you saw tons of good progress. No pressures allowed for Cooper Beebe. You didn't see any poor snaps from him, as you noted earlier. Yeah. The pass block, I think the run blocking, to me, like, that's something that should be the strength for him. I think he's trying right now to focus to make sure he's good with the pass blocking. Mm-hmm. I think the run blocking is going to figure itself out with Cooper. Yeah. And Guyton should get better as well. But the big thing for me was hearing Steele. Like,
yeah.
You thought Steele looked really good.
Yeah, Steele, when you watch the tape, you'll see Steele, he got run over one time. It was a sack. That's, you grade him for 65 plays. You don't grade him for just one. But that he, overall, I felt like that his mobility was good. His in the run block and pass block, and he had to block one-on-one a couple different times. He was able to pin his guy to the outside. I thought it was a good day for him.
And then the final thing here on the top 10 Cowboys thoughts after a 33-17 win yesterday over the Browns. But how about this deja vu nugget from Blogging the Boys? So last year, season opener, 40-0, they went over the Giants. Defense allowed just 265 of total yards. Yesterday, 260 yards of offense allowed with a couple of offensive touchdowns, special teams touchdown. They got the special teams touchdown last year against the Giants. Very dominant defensive performances week one, back-to-back years.
They got 2 stops on fourth down. It ended up being 6 points. You think about that.
Sure did.
They had 2 stops. Mm-hmm. They got them in. Hopefully they would have, maybe punched that thing in and got touchdowns out of that. But, yeah, it was good that they were able to get that done.
Great stuff, Woolchuck. The top 10 most afternoons at 4:20 here in the GBAG Nation. Expressway's coming up at 5:20. How much of an impression did week one leave on you? What would you need to see to break out of your Cowboy cynicism and into Cowboy confidence? We'll talk about that coming up at 5:20. Where are we going next, Chief?
Football's Finest, featuring a tip of the cap to the NFL, Mike McCarthy, and this Cleveland local radio caller next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.